in glory. Good, very, very important. Good is not freedom from pain and suffering now. So many false teachers, by the way, teach that. So many false teachers claim it's all about now. Best life now. Happiness now. Prosperity now. Health and wealth now. Your personal, your small little G God now. That is false teaching, not in the Bible.
Hi, and welcome to Live in the Light. My name is Shannon Stark. I'm your host today, and thank you so much for listening. We are here so you can learn and grow in your relationship with Jesus, and we want to hear from you. If you have a story to share with us about what you've learned in this series in Romans 6 through 8, we would love to hear from you. And we are still in Romans 8 today with our message, God's Will for My Life, because life is too short not to know God's will for you. Yesterday, we talked a lot about sanctification and sanctification as the trunk of God's will. So let's get right back into it in Romans 8, 26 to 30. Open your Bibles with me today.
For some of us, the corner is glory itself. We won't fully understand and make sense of all that's going on until we reach and see Christ face to face. And then everything in that moment makes sense. For some of us, we have to wait till the very, very end. Only by the Holy Spirit. We know nothing compared to God. We know nothing. So many situations we have labeled and drawn conclusions and judged God in. Infinitesimal understanding as to the infinite vast and sources of wisdom that our God has. How many times has bad in our lives brought us to weakness and brokenness and desperation? And those have become the greatest turning points of our lives. The very things we never wanted, God has used to bring our greatest good. With tears and silence and insufficiency, we sit there busted. And that's when the Holy Spirit shows us how much He cares for us. I remember the season before this church began, before there was even a core group. Busted. Broken. Don't understand. Seasons of darkness personally. Seasons of depression, shared that with you. Sat in silence, in tears, in limitations, in weakness. And the Holy Spirit steps in. I remember the season of when this church was about to be joined with Calvary Baptist Church and the difficulty within and the obstacles. My wife and I sitting in silence and tears and insufficiency and weakness. And the Holy Spirit steps in. And I remember when the elder meeting in the old building for the decision whether this property should be purchased that we're on here right now. And the negativity or the doubt or the cynicism started to rise, and the Holy Spirit silenced us, literally. And in brokenness and insufficiency, the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to pray what you cannot possibly know. And here we are today. Larger examples, how many smaller, beautiful, powerful. We are brought to silence. We don't know. We shed tears. We share our weakness. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, praying for God's will to be known and lived in our lives. When it comes to the will of God, the Holy Spirit groans for us in it. Secondly, when it comes to God's will, God uses all things to accomplish it. When it comes to God's will, God uses all things to accomplish it. Look at verse 28 now, the very, very famous verse 28 of Romans 8. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Look at this verse for a second. Now, doesn't this verse make sense within our context now? Okay, often verse 28 is just seen at where it is. Verse 28, it's taken up, it's examined, it's unpacked, it's exhorted. That's fine, it's totally good. But again, the verses in its context is where it becomes most powerful. So now verse 28 in the context of verse 26 and verse 18 and all of these, notice the context of suffering, groaning, waiting, weakness, limitation, and unknowing. That's our context. Now, what does verse 28 become then? It becomes so much more powerful. It becomes so much more kind of enlightening for us. Listen, there's just too much we can't see, church. There's too much we can't understand. There's too much we can't handle. And yet, what we do know is that God knows. God knows, and our text tells us that God works all things together for good. I want you to notice this, but for who does God do such things? Look at verse 28. Notice there's two directions here. Notice, first of all, there's a human direction. Who does God work for in this way? There's a human direction, it says, for those who love God. For those who seek the Lord. For those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. For believers in Jesus Christ. There's a human responsibility in verse 28 of those who love, who believe in, who follow Jesus Christ. There's a human direction from us to God, but notice there's also a divine direction in verse 28 from God to us. It says at the end of verse 28, those who are called according to his purpose. That's God's sovereignty. That direction can only come from God to us. We are called to love God, us to him, for those who are called by God, according to the purpose of God, the plan of God, the will of God, he then acts in us, the sovereignty of God. We see the responsibility of man and the sovereignty of God right there in one verse, in verse 28. Notice the last two words of verse 28. It says, according to his purpose. God is working in our lives according to his purpose. What's his purpose? His purpose is his will. God's will. His will for our lives, we're learning, is moving. It's being accomplished. Listen. It's being accomplished through all things. The Greek word for the phrase we have work together, see that work together? The Greek word there is synergeo. It's where we get our English word for synergy. God places all things in our lives to bring into synergy good according to his sovereign will and his sovereign purpose. It's also hard to get past the phrase all things. See that phrase all things? So I looked it up and all things, I was surprised to find out all things actually means all things. Huh. So we must always remember that God is infinite in wisdom. Again, we are not. Isaiah 55, famous, beautiful verse. God says this, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts than your... Think of as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how far apart, God says, your understanding and my understanding are. You just don't know. Just don't understand the ways of God. I will confess too, church, loved ones, it bugs me how many people stand in judgment of God. It bugs me. Who are you? Who are you to accuse God Almighty of anything? We are so arrogant sometimes. We have such pomp. We think we're so smart. We are judging the God of the universe who is infinite in wisdom. Bugs me. We have no idea. Just the absolute pride and stupidity of human beings to attempt to think that somehow they could know and even criticize the God of the universe. The will of God this side of heaven is most often very difficult to understand. And it's meant to be that way. I always remember as a young believer, the illustration is very helpful for me. It was an illustration of someone that was weaving a carpet. And when you see the backside of a carpet or a rug when it's being weaved together, it doesn't look great. The backside of the carpet, it's kind of messy. There'd be confusing. You don't necessarily see any patterns that make sense. It's rough. It's kind of complicated. It's honestly unattractive. But when the weaver is complete and you turn that carpet around, all of a sudden, in its glory, you see the design and the beauty and the purpose, and your perspective is entirely changed from what you see on the backside to when you get and you see in completion and the fullness of the end result. That's like the will of God. This side of heaven, it's sometimes confusing. It can look messy. There's so much we may not understand. It's hard to get clarity. But one day soon, we will see the full front side of that carpet and the design and the glory of our God. And not one of us will be complaining or criticizing or judging or moaning. We will be absolutely delighting for all of eternity. It's in 1 Corinthians 13 where Paul says, "For now we see dimly as in a mirror, but then when the return of Christ, we shall see face to face." Paul says, "Now we know in part, but then we shall know fully." Now we see the backside of what the weaver is doing, but then we shall know and see the full display of the beauty and the majesty and the perfect knowledge again of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must remember too, loved ones, when God says in verse 28, he says, all things work together for good. Let's define good. Good is final glory. That's what good is, ultimately. Good is freedom from pain and suffering in glory. Good, very, very important. Good is not freedom from pain and suffering now. So many false teachers, by the way, teach that. So many false teachers claim it's all about now. Best life now. Happiness now, prosperity now, health and wealth now, your personal, your small little G God now. That is false teaching. Not in the Bible. What is in the Bible, suffering, pain, heartache with blessing, joy, peace, love, the presence of God, persevering us on the way to glory, which is the ultimate good and perfection. To constantly define what we are living for and where we are, but the Bible actually says. Good then, God sees the pain, he sees the suffering, and he uses all things to prepare us for eternal glory. And the blessing that comes along the way with the things I just described, love and joy and peace, the fruit of the Spirit. This is a major, major battle for so many. Trusting the Lord for the glory that is to come and not trying to say this all must happen here and now. William Cooper was a man who deeply struggled with depression his entire life. He was often suicidal. He was a contemporary of John Newton, who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace. William Cooper, though, in his immense suffering and heartache and battles in life, He was used in his personal darkness to write some of the greatest lines of light in the last several hundred years. It's often the way it goes. This hymn that he wrote, God Moves in a Mysterious Way, has been one of my favorites for so many years now. I think the theology built within this is absolutely profound and astounding. We'll go through it quickly here, but I strongly encourage you. There's a song version of this by Jeremy Riddle. It's also one of my favorites in the last 20 years. How God has used this in my heart and life to renew my mind as to the reality of his providence and his sovereignty that he uses all things. William Cooper, again, one who struggled immensely. Look what he wrote here. Deep and unfathomable or unsearchable minds of never failing skill, God treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. One of the best lines ever written in hymns is right here. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. I just want you to think about that for a second. Behind a frowning providence, from our perspective, it seems like a frowning providence. But God works all things for good for us who believe. He hides a smiling face. Next couple of verses, his purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste. What a line this is, but sweet will be the flower. Who's that for today? The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet and glory will be the flower. Blind unbelief, this is our world. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. But God is his own interpreter. God is the one who translates. God is the one who knows. And he will make it plain. In his time, he will make it plain because of how awesome he is. And then this last part, ye fearful saints, we're often so afraid. Fresh courage take. Look at this. The clouds you so much dread, the very clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break as blessings on your head. That's faith in the providence and the sovereignty and the wisdom of God, who works all things together for good for those who love him and for those who are called according to his purpose. I wonder today, are we able to stop just long enough right now? Are we able to stop just long enough to consider the pain we are currently in, or we have previously been in? And are we able to think and consider of how God is currently using this in our lives to draw us closer, to bear more fruit, and to ultimately conform us to the image of his son. Before we are longing to be released from it, before we are complaining about it, before we are hating where we are we able to stop long enough to consider how verse 28 might apply to our lives right now? And maybe it's even possible that we go from complaining to being filled with the Holy Spirit of God to actually give thanks for what we cannot fully see, but the goodness of our God that we fully believe in. I'll say this, it's hard for me to admit at times to myself and to God. As I look back upon the years, particularly in ministry, I've had to come to admit that seasons of trial and pain and heartache and discouragement has often been God saving me, listen, from me. God has allowed things to enter into my life that I would never choose, and honestly, I would not choose again. But as I look back, God has used him to save me from my greatest danger, me. He just knows so much more than we will ever understand. He is incapable of making a wrong decision. He is perfectly infinite in wisdom. He is absolutely awesome. We're learning about God's will, that God uses all things to accomplish it. Lastly, finally, when it comes to God's will for my life, God guarantees glory through it. He guarantees glory through it. This is without a doubt the will of God for every believer's life here right now. Look at verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Okay, you have to give me grace here right now, okay? Because these two verses could be two sermons unto themselves, okay? And one day they probably will be. We'll probably do maybe a two-part series just on these two verses. But today that's impossible. That cannot happen at this point. But let's highlight some main ingredients here briefly, but I hope will bring clarity. First, notice foreknew. Foreknew. It says, for those whom God foreknew. Foreknew, loved ones, is not. Foreknew is not that God saw. This is very, very important. This is not that God saw into the future who would believe in him and therefore he chose them. That is not what's happening here. Many people believe that incorrectly. Foreknew here is intimate. The knowledge of God upon people often refers to God entering into relationship with some. God says, I knew the person as an expression of intimacy. Amos 3:2 on the screen for you. Here's an example of this. He says to Israel, you only have I known. Now, is that true? Is Israel the only people that God knew and was aware of across the earth? Of course not. God knew every single person, every family who ever lived, ever. God knows they exist. He created them. But notice here, it's an expression of intimacy. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. He's known all families, but specifically, therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities, but I have known for all the families of the earth. The knowledge of God and love upon his people, both again in their encouragement and in their discipline as well. God knows every family ever, but he chose Israel in a special way. So in this way, foreknew could also be translated for love. For he foreloved. And here's what we understand. If God made a decision before you were even born to enter into relationship with you, then predestined is what must follow. That's what the Bible's saying here. So just as Christ was predestined to live and die for our sins, God has predetermined, predestined those who will enter into relationship with him for everlasting life. Now again, we could spend so much time right here on this, but let me just say this. This hurts my head, okay? This doctrine and this theology, it hurts my head. I do love it though. I do love it. I think it's so clear in scripture. I think the amount of verses that support the understanding of God's infinite knowledge and all that we don't understand are so profound and so plentiful. It does hurt my head though. And I encourage you at the time we don't have at this exact moment, but I encourage you, man, you study in our bookstore. We have some excellent resources on this theological issue, the doctrine of election and predestination. You do that. Our Hope Institute is there for anyone who desires to grow and learn and interact in this as well. The more that I've studied, the more I've looked, my head does hurt. My heart is full. My head does hurt because ultimately this is a mystery. The sovereignty of man, the Bible teaches, for God so loved the world, whoever believes, the responsibility of man is taught, responsibility of man, but then also the sovereignty of God shall not perish, but have everlasting. And in verse 28, as we saw today, the Bible teaches both. We are responsible. God is sovereign. Hurts my head, but I love it. And notice the entire point here of foreknew and predestined. The entire point of what's happening here is that you would be conformed into the image of Christ. So the entire goal and purpose of our lives is to grow into Christ that we might give him glory. Isn't that amazing here? Conformed to the image of Christ. So Genesis 3 tarnishes the image of God in human beings. And then God sets his plan to go forth in his son, Jesus Christ, who will come and live and die for our sins, raised from the dead, that we might be fully restored into the image that we are originally intended to be. And that completion will come again at the return of Jesus Christ, when all who know Jesus Christ will be brought to him and established in perfection. This is God's will guaranteed, that we are conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And that leads us to verse 30 now. Verse 30 says here, "And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified." Notice this stuff, okay? One of the greatest verses of eternal security in the Bible. See that? One of the greatest verses of eternal security, okay? You're not predestined and then not called. That never, ever, 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 ever happens. If you're predestined, you are called. If you're called, you are justified. You're justified, you're glorified. That chain and that train is never, ever, ever broken. When God foreloves you and foreknows you and you are chosen and you are saved, calling there is effectual calling. It's not just when the gospel is preached and people decide whether or not they believe. Calling there is the effectual calling of God, where at that moment, at this time, the gospel is preached and proclaimed. And at that moment, God says you and brings you forth to salvation and conversion as he has predestined that you would do before you were ever born. Hurts my head, I love it. And if you are called, you are justified. And here's the good news, ready? Here's 100% God's will for your life. No exceptions ever for all those who are called and saved in Jesus Christ. If you are called and justified, here's the good news. You will 100%, you will be absolutely, perfectly certain you will be glorified. You will be glorified. The ultimate will of God in sanctification is that every single person who's legitimate will receive glorification, the elimination and the presence of sin and the forever defeat of sin and Satan forever, forever. And all God's people said, amen. Can't wait. Yes, please. Yes, please. Yes, please. Yes, please. And this is the hope we have right here. Verse 30, ready? No disaster will alter your destination. No disaster can change your destination. No trial will change your triumph. No circumstance will ever hinder your salvation, ever. Because you've been predestined, called, justified, and one day soon, you will be glorified in the presence of Jesus Christ. So much we could say. What a text, what a passage. This is what we learn about God's will for our lives. The Holy Spirit groans for it. God uses all things to accomplish it, and God's guaranteed glory through it. Holy Spirit, lead us and help us. Let's pray, church. Let's pray. Father, take your word today. I thank you for your faithfulness in these moments. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love and light. And I pray now, even as we sing, I pray so much, God, you'll be speaking to hearts and encouraging and leading and directly encouraging. Big, big issues, beautiful, beautiful issues today. Such important theological truth. Again, I pray you are changing lives powerfully in the midst of it. We ask that you would do this now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
If you missed the last few messages in our series, don't worry about it. Live in the Light broadcast can be found anytime on our website at liveinthelight.ca. We also offer podcasts now through Apple, Google, and Spotify, so you can catch up with us anytime you want. Let us know where you're listening to Live in the Light at liveinthelight.ca. We can't wait to hear from you. Thanks for listening today at Live in the Light. We cannot wait to see you again tomorrow on Live in the Light with Pastor Robbie Simon. Oh, yeah. I wanna be in the light as you are in the light.